Welcome to the Life Skills with Mona podcast. I'm Mona, and I'm thrilled that you stopped by this podcast to talk about the issues of life and how we can sharpen our skills and live our absolute best life. Some topics will go deep, so if you're ready, come along. Do life with me. Hello, podcast family. I am thrilled to have Dr. Keely Petty join me on the podcast today, where we will continue the discussion on narcissism and its discontent. Dr. Keely is an author, teacher, commissioner, and prolific international conference speaker. She is a sought-after empowerment specialist, transformational innovative thinker, and a life strategist. She has earned a stellar reputation as a change agent and a voice of hope and healing in her community and beyond. Dr. Keely is a certified life coach, temperament counselor, community health worker, mental health first aid, recovery coach, and a substance abuse prevention specialist. She has a doctorate degree in Christian counseling and is a professional clinical member of the National Christian Counselors Association. She's also married to her lifetime sweetheart and agreement partner, Pastor Lee Petty, and is the proud mom of two young adult sons, Jaira and Jonathan Petty. You will definitely enjoy this podcast. I guarantee it. So lean in and let's hear from Dr. Keely Petty. Hello, Dr. Keely. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. I know that our listeners are going to be blessed by you. I appreciate your participation so much. So welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for the invite. This is a wonderful conversation to be having for your listening audience.
Yes, I believe so too. And as I said in the first episode, and I hope that our listeners have heard that episode by now, it's just been something that I've wanted to talk about, but never felt I could talk about it. And after praying over it a little bit and asking God what to do and getting some sort of, I guess, direction, he gave me a voice to speak. And he said, you know, get folks like Dr. Keely on board with you and have them have a conversation. Folks that are respected and have a good background, a great background, I should say, to help you have this conversation. So I'm just going to start off by giving us kind of an overview from episode one. And then okay. I'm going to get you to weigh in. So I talked about narcissism and its discontents in the first episode. And we know that narcissistic personalities have become kind of normalized in our society. We've kind of allowed bad behavior to pass because that's just the way they are, or that's just who they are. But we've never really delved into how we deal with the person who is on that upper scale of narcissism, meaning they're hypersensitive, they're abnormally and excessively sensitive, and they respond that way. And we sometimes have to do life with those kinds of folks, and it can be very challenging. So I want to start by that. And if our listening audience has not listened to that first episode, I would love for them to go back, check it out, come back, and then get Dr. Keeley's weigh in on this. But Dr. Keely, I'm going to start out with a scripture that is kind of been an interesting parallel to what narcissism is. On a spiritual level. And I want you to kind of weigh in on it. I'm going to read it just very quickly. And I'm coming out of 2 Timothy 3:1-7. Paul in this scripture verse seems to be concerned about the character and behavior of leaders within the church. So he warns Timothy to be aware of those who act out of self-love, out of a self-love attitude. He says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty. He just really went in, didn't he? Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And for such people, turn away. Here, Paul names many of the attributes associated in psychology as well today with the narcissistic personality we're all becoming so familiar with. So I'd love to hear your perspective on that scripture.
I believe this scripture is indicative of the past, the present, and the future. The particular part of that verse that expresses narcissism within the church and the community is the portion of scripture where it says that they will become lovers of themselves. And then it goes on to talk about when you become lovers of self, then other things follow that. And I thought it was interesting that the first thing that was written is that men, including women, shall be lovers of themselves. And it's important to take note that when you begin to love yourself, you love money, you become boastful, you become arrogant, you become disobedient to parents, you become unholy, and you become unthankful. Those are all attributes of a spiritual narcissistic behavior. The Bible doesn't call it that, but for those of us who are life coaches, consultants, and counselors, we know that that is exactly what that is that it is a picture and a pathway of a what I'm calling a spiritual narcissistic person, because these passages were written to believers
Absolutely.
to say,
Absolutely.
don't be like the world, don't believe the hype of social media, don't be so impressed with who you are. I thought about a scripture in Proverbs 27 and 2 that said, let another man praise you and not your own mouth. We know the times that we're in because of social media lends itself to self-love. It leads itself to self-promotion. It leads itself to self-interest. And it is motivated by, to me, idolatry. Persons have idolized themselves so much to the point that they have lost out on vibrant relationships, probably incredible personal growth opportunities, because they are just so impressed with themselves.
Oh, that's a good perspective. That is a good, and I could just go all over the page with that. But before I digress, I'm going to let you continue to talk about that because what I see in so many folks, and just from my perspective, just living 52 plus years and just seeing and dealing in relationships, we have to have relationship with folks, like you said, who are really self-consumed. And when you're on the outside looking in, you're thinking, well, it's really not that much to be consumed over because we know people by the fruits they bear, and we know how folks feel about them and how what's said about them that may be in a positive light. But how do we then, Dr. Keeley, how do we deal with day to day, do life with people that we can really overtly see are just truly enamored with themselves?
Well, first of all, I would say when we look to scripture, because for those of us who are God lovers and chasing after God and what would Jesus do? He would say to us from the book of Micah 6 and 8 that we ought to live justly, we ought to show mercy and walk humbly before the Lord our God. People who traffic in narcissism are not humble people because it's self-interest. They constantly refer to their own self-achievements. They invade conversations. They twist scripture. They profess love, but they never show it. They talk, but they don't listen. And we all know people like this. They definitely refuse to acknowledge their mistakes and surely won't let you do it. They tear each other down. They tear other people down so that they can look as though they are the light of the world. And if a narcissistic person is in leadership position, they lead by force and not by example. And they ultimately put God second. So when we go back to the beginning of narcissism, from what I've looked at in scripture, when we go all the way back to God having created Adam, I believe, and this is my personal belief, this is my prophetic perspective on this, is that he possibly could have been a narcissist. Simply because, number one, he was left alone. Number two, he had all authority over every created being in the earth. So much power, he was able to name them. He had a level of dominion that could yield to narcissistic behavior. And God said, hey, I'm noticing something. I believe God noticed that narcissistic tendency. And before it could grow and develop, he sent what I call the crown of creation. He sent Eve. He sent someone to walk alongside him and help break that root of narcissism out of him. He had a hard time when Eve came upon the scene. And we know the story of the fall. I believe the fall may have happened as a result of narcissism. I believe when we take it further and look at the story of Cain and Abel, the first murder had to do with narcissistic tendencies. And on and on and on, we see in scripture this narcissistic tendency among the people of God. And it is upon the people of God, because we are first natural, then we're spiritual. So these are things that we have to work out of our soul. We have to not be preeminent like Diotrephes was. That is a New Testament story about Diotrephes and the damage that he established among the people of God until he got exposed. So I believe when we can trace narcissistic behavior all the way back to the garden, we can look at persons like Nimrod, who had narcissistic tendencies to the point that he was going to get to God the way he thought he could get to God. So we see these patterns among men and women in the Bible. Who praise themselves excessively, and it's all about a motive of self-interest.
That was such a good perspective, starting in the garden with Adam and Eve. And oh my goodness, we could really dive deeper into that if we had the time. But I love that perspective that you gave. Goodness, I'm jotting down the notes, because you know we're going to have to talk about that at another time as well, to really unpack that. But I want to talk about two things that you mentioned that just kind of jumped out in my mind when you talked about leaders who are not leading by example. They're leading by force. I think I paraphrased a little bit, but you said by force. And I think about that in how when you're discerning, or when you pray and ask God for discernment with people that may not, you know, you may not feel real comfortable around them, or you may just see something in them that kind of raises a red flag in your mind. And if you are one that will say, let me explore that, let me talk to God about that, I wonder if when we see those folks, we see the impatience And I'm talking about the leaders that lead by force,
Sure.
the impatience, they're not very empathetic. They're moving at a pace and speaking at a pace towards you to kind of almost in a sense bully or move you where you may not be ready to go at the moment. Can you talk about just leadership by force a bit, Dr. Keeley?
Well, when we look at a spiritual leader or a leader of a country who has narcissistic behavior, they are the worst kind of leader. They are uncompromising, they are spiteful, and they are controlling. And again, we can see this pattern over and over and over and over again in scripture. And some people like being up under a narcissistic leader because they lack maturity and they themselves have issues of insecurity. And that is why a narcissistic leader can lead that way, because you have a bunch of people around you who are impressed with you in a sense that they won't test the spirit by the spirit. And again, narcissism is a soul issue, but it can lead to a spiritual issue. And it is one of the worst kind of leaders that you can be up under. Even when we look to scripture that talks about the issue of flattery, in their own eyes, they flatter themselves too much to detect sin or to hate sin. So this is a cautionary point here. That's from Psalm 36, chapter 1. It is very important that we do not subject ourselves to narcissistic leadership, because they are so in tune and entwined with themselves, which is a form of idolatry. Self-idolatry. And that's why God said, don't put another idol before me. I'm a jealous God. And he wasn't talking about a rabbit's foot, a crystal ball. He was talking about the idolatry that rests in the heart and mind of men. Don't put yourself before me. Let's go back to the beginning. When Satan was cast out of the heavenly realm, it was because of narcissistic tendencies. He wanted to have what someone else had and wanted to annihilate God completely. He was a narcissistic individual, a narcissistic spirit that we are still contending with to this day. Because what are we being taught? We're being taught you for it's. I hear people say this term and I really don't like it. I understand it, but I don't like it. I'm doing me. I'm doing me. That is indicative of the language of a narcissistic individual. Because you're pretty much saying, you are saying, I don't care about anybody else. I'm doing me.
Right.
It's
right.
All Sounds about good. Me, which goes back to idolatry, which then births narcissistic behavior.
Absolutely. And definitely we can take the context in which people use those words. That is so true, that the foundation of that means, you know, I'm only really thinking about what I need, even if, you know, they've had some issues in the past where they feel that they're justified in doing them. Maybe they've been in an abusive relationship, or maybe they've had issues, but that's not really where we want to go into the I'm doing me realm, especially when we've been through something, which leads me to this. You talked about the heart of a narcissistic person or a person with those characteristics. And I'm reminded of Jeremiah 17 and 9, where it talks about the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? So how do we then, Dr. Keeley, you mentioned folks who are led by that strong arm leadership or that forceful leadership. They've got their own insecurities. They've got some things that they're dealing with. How do we really wake up in the minds and hearts as we do life and follow people, and we're in no way saying we shouldn't be led or we shouldn't follow good leaders, but how do we make sure that we're not only protecting our own hearts, but that we're able to sort of read, if you will, the desperately sick hearts of folks who are dealing with this narcissistic personality?
Well, we know that the scripture declares, and the scripture we're talking about is the word of God. We have clear understanding that all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We are created in the image and likeness of God. We are the containers of his glory. We are the expressed image of who he is in the earth realm. We are the salt and the light. We are the head and the tail. We are all of that. But we have to be mindful that every human being at some point and at some time has traveled in and out of narcissism. We have done things based on self-motive and self-interest, including myself, self-motive, self-interest, because we are all trying to do life the way we want to do it. And we are trying to achieve crowning moments that are personal to us for whatever the reason may be. So again, every human being has the propensity and the capacity to operate out of a narcissistic behavior. There are stronger versions that, you know, there are always major and minors in any situation. And what we want to do is look for major issues among leadership. I will say this, having pastored alongside my husband, what I notice about people who are narcissistic, they tend to lack, they don't submit to authority. So when the scripture tells us that we are to submit to authority, whether the leaders are harsh or whether they're not, that's found over in Peter. But submitting to authority and submitting will bind up narcissistic behavior, because narcissistic behavior says, I want it my way and I want it now. So you get people walking into churches, I have my own ministry and I'm going to do it my way. And, you know, thank God for the path that was showed to us about even placing people in ministry and the call. We can look to the Old Testament and even the New Testament, how that happened. But I just believe, again, that all have sinned and all of us have fallen short of the glory. And those of us who are really trying to please God, we don't want to have, we do not want that said of us that we have narcissistic behavior chronically.
So true. And listen, I'm going to join you, Dr. Keeley, about, you know, those in and out of that narcissistic characteristic, since I've been studying narcissism and I'm just rating myself on these scales. And I'm like, okay, I'm not that bad. I'm not that bad. I've had some issues, but I'm not that bad. So I really want to be sure I'm aware of what I'm doing, and I'm aware of how I'm treating other people, and I'm aware of my own motives and living in truth, which leads me to, you know, how we must increase or decrease, I'm sorry, and how we must make sure that God increases in our life, that spirituality, that spiritual component of God, following God in the way that his will demands us, not ours, but his. So if we've got this issue, we all have, like you said so eloquently, we've passed through this narcissism scale. And there are really, you know, upper levels. I talked about it in episode one, and there are some lower level ideas of that kind of normal human quality of narcissism. What can you tell the audience and myself about how we become better You've given us some really good points on how we recognize the deceitful heart of those who have this narcissism at a very high level. What can we do to overcome? And also, what can we do spiritually to keep us where we know we're, quote unquote, safe, as long as we're doing what we know our Savior expects us to do. What's your practical advice for us?
Well, I thought about what is the opposite of a narcissistic rather person. And the opposite of a narcissistic is called an empath. And empaths are people who are very receptive to the emotions of others. They have a high interest in other people above themselves. They look forward to serving and just checking on what is going on in the life of people. When we look at what psychology has called narcissistic personality disorder, they say that it is a disorder in which a person has, again, here we go, inflated sense of importance. So that goes back. Many people who I believe are narcissistic probably have very high insecurity issues, issues of abandonment, issues of criticism, because they've been criticized, and they are trying to drown that by inflating themselves. So you overcome, number one, I would say, I'm going to double up on both of these questions. You overcome, I would say, by number one, allowing people to speak truth in your life,
Ooh, that's a
making
good
sure
one.
you are around people who will speak truth to you. Growing up, it used to be said, you're smelling yourself. In certain cultural communities. But I believe if you put yourself around people that can speak truth in love, who can care front and not confront, then you have an opportunity to work on that. I believe Google is our friend because if you want to know what level of narcissism you are exposed to and operating out of, you can simply go online and take the test and find out whatever the ranges are, where you are on the scale. And then I believe once you find that out, if you will do the work yourself, if you will carry your own cross, if you will handle the areas that show up and just begin to be mindful and to work on them. Narcissism is classically said that it is a male dominant disorder, but I believe, again, as I've stated before, the social media has made every one of us narcissistic to some level. This is why we only show the good times on social media. Rarely do people show, show themselves. Let's just start with this one without makeup. They're not going to do that. The ugly times of life. No, I've got to always look inflated and successful. I've got to live out of my own echo chamber. I've got to be able to celebrate myself, and all of that is good. That when we look at issues of emotional health, one of the areas that I teach is that you do have to become your own cheerleader if you're going to have healthy self-esteem. What am I saying? You do have to like you, and you do have to love you, but not in the sense of turning yourself rather into an idol unto yourself. People who end up in sexual sin, people who end up masturbating and doing things of that nature are narcissistic because they have a inflated self that I can do it all by myself. Mm-hmm. I don't need anybody and I don't want anybody.
You went there, didn't you, Dr. Keeley?
I'm sorry.
I love it. No, please. It is good. This candid conversation. I think we all need to hear it and we all need to be reminded of the dark sides of narcissism. So I love that you spoke about allowing people to speak truth in your life. Mm-hmm. And becoming an empath, which is the opposite of narcissism, which is so, so true. And that second part of that, I remember you mentioned two. I'm waiting for the second one. What's the second, the practical thing? Or maybe you mentioned two sides to the question. Give us one other practical idea of how I can go from making sure, ensuring that I am not a narcissist, I am an empath.
The greatest tool the believer has mm-hmm. is the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit is our teacher, our guide, and our comforter. Mm-hmm. So if I am struggling in these areas, yes, I need to have good people around me who can check me. Who's your checkmate? Mm-hmm. Who's your checkmate? Your checkmate spiritually for your soul is the Holy Spirit. But again, we know that things are first natural, then spiritual. So I need some people who I know are a fan of mine, but I also need to know that they can speak truth and love to me.
Yes.
That they can say, you know, the blonde hair is cute on her, but that doesn't look good on you. Mm-hmm. And if I'm narcissistic, I'm going to not hear that. I'm not going to think about that way because I believe I'm right and I believe it looks good.
Right.
I see so many women in leggings that I'm like, she got to be narcissistic to walk around like that.
Yeah,
and she doesn't have friends and she doesn't have access to the Holy Spirit who will teach and guide you into all truth.
Yes, yes. And if you bring that if you call the narcissist to take a look at maybe how they're representing, they take offense. It is
absolutely
an argument.
Offense mm-hmm. feeds narcissistic behavior. Mm-hmm. Narcissism has to be fed. And it has to be fed every day, all day. It is a 365, 24/7 mm-hmm. kind of spirit.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Oh, yes.
It never shuts down. It doesn't know how to rest. Wow. It doesn't know how to cease and desist. It doesn't know how to stop feeding itself. Mm-hmm. And a spiritual narcissistic person will always put God second instead mm-hmm. of first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And justify the reasons why they're doing that based on that.
Exactly. Yep.
Oh my goodness. This is such a good conversation. I hate for it to end. Absolutely hate for it to end. I may just have to have you back again, Dr. Keeley, because I said this is going to be a three-part episode. This may be a four-part episode because I definitely want to unpack some things. And I just so appreciate your candidness, you know, and the intellect and ease ability in which you are speaking to us about this. And it's so palatable. And I'm so thankful that mm-hmm. you've made it that way for us to understand really what we're dealing with, not only in other people, but in ourselves. And really, mm-hmm. I think that's the focus, really maintaining who we are in spite of all of the issues and maybe some insecurities we may have, but maintaining who we are, not only most importantly in Christ, but really being aware of who we are and how we are and how we do life. So I just
Absolutely.
so appreciate you. And I think self-growth and overcoming, like you said, really finding, allowing people to speak truth into your life and really inviting the power of the Holy Spirit. Those are good moves. And so don't be real hard on yourself if you think, oh my gosh, I'm a narcissist. But if you want to get better, oh, God can do so much for us. And you really brought that home today, Dr. Keeley. I appreciate you. And I will turn it back over to you so you can share that scripture with us before we close out.
Yeah, and I hope the next time we have this conversation, you know, there's two sides to every coin. There is the sun and the moon. There's a light side and a dark side. There are times in our lives where we do have to operate out of a narcissistic pattern. And that is when we are looking to obey God, when we are looking to obey his word. When we are looking to achieve a goal, it may be a season where you operate narcissistically to get that done. You don't stay there, but I got to be a little bit about me in the sense I've got to accomplish this goal. God had patterns of moving people from people which could have looked narcissistic on his terms. When he told Moses, get thee from thy family and thy kindred, because I'm about to do some stuff in you. So there were times even when God would ram up and show narcissistic behavior, but the good side of narcissistic behavior.
Right.
And as we close, I just want the listening audience to go and take a look at Matthew chapter 23, verse 37. It was one of the questions Jesus asked, which was the greatest commandment. And the scripture reads, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. And if you really love God, he can teach you how to love yourself in a healthy way without having narcissistic tendencies control you.
Oh, I love it. Thank you so much, Dr. Keeley. You have really blessed me considerably, and I know you are blessing and will bless our audience. And I do appreciate you. And I not only appreciate you for who you are, but also appreciate you for what you do for the community and for absolutely for God's kingdom. So thank you, and many, many, many more blessings upon you and your family and your ministry.
Right back at you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. Thank you for listening to the podcast. This platform is simply an open conversation and gateway to personal and spiritual growth and development. Life sometimes has limits, but we have to challenge those limits by educating ourselves and applying that education to make us better. And in doing so, we give others permission to do the same. Join us again next time on Life Skills with Mona.